Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning to declare praises to the Lord this morning. And I trust that you will be encouraged as we do so, because we just sang about a good, good Father. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Amen. Amen. We are together traveling the road of the Sermon on the Mount. We are still in Matthew. We're in chapter 7. We're at a wonderful passage of Scripture this morning. If I could title these verses, I would title them, "It's an Invitation You Shouldn't Refuse." An invitation you shouldn't refuse. If you're a Bible scholar, maybe your mind goes to different passages of Scripture, says, oh, it's going to talk about the wedding banquet of the Lamb, where, you know, the rich ruler sends out invitations and all the rich people are too busy. They just can't attend the banquet. So he says to the servants, hey, go out and to the highways and byways and just get anybody you can to come, because we're going to have a celebration. This is an invitation that is extremely necessary and important for us not only to receive and to hear, but to accept as a follower of Jesus Christ. It has to do with one word. And that word really can be broken down, and it is broken down for us in Scripture in verse 7. It's one word. If you are a parent and you have had children, or you have grandkids, or if you've been in any kind of leadership, you've had this word expressed to you in different ways. What is the word? The word is ask. Ask. A-S-K. Very simple word. Ask. But so important for a follower of Jesus. It has to do with that prayer. Ask. Jesus here tells his listeners in this Sermon on the Mount to do just that. In context, in verses 1 through 6, as we discovered last week, we are really not wise enough in our own standards, smart enough in our own standards, skilled enough to judge others. In fact, we shouldn't. We should be gracious. So as a follower of God, I need to practice this word and ask God for wisdom and discernment and understanding and the ability to act like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Amen. Ask, ask. Stephen and Alex Kendrick, believers and filmmakers, you might have seen some of their movies, and they say this about prayer. They say prayer, at its heart, is communicating with God reverently and openly, sincerely, interacting directly with the magnificent God of the universe who is really there. Jesus is inviting his followers to ask, and we are going to discover a little bit, who are we asking and what are we asking? Maybe why are we asking? Jonathan Pennington, he wrote this about this Sermon on the Mount and this passage here in verses 7 through 11. He said, it's one of the most encouraging and hope-giving sections of the Sermon on the Mount and even of the whole New Testament. In it, disciples are given a straightforward invitation to seek God, to meet their needs with confidence based on the invitation to relate to God, not as a mere omnipotent deity, but as a good and caring Father. So let's look at the Scripture together this morning and ask God to open up our hearts and minds as we read here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your holy word this morning, we pray by the power of your Spirit that you'll open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, from your word, that we will respond in faith and respond in obedience. And Lord, that you will just continue to move in our lives and transform us and mold us and shape us into the image of your Son. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who needs a special touch from you, who needs to maybe enter into a relationship with you by faith, by placing their trust in Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you will give them that courage and boldness to ask. Lord, as a child of yours, a sheep in your pasture, many of us are filled with burdens and problems and pains. And so, Lord, there's some things that maybe we are fearful of, that we haven't even dared to come into your presence to reveal that need to you, even though you already know about it. Lord, I pray that today that you will move in a mighty way and that you will allow us as your children to be brave and bold to ask. Knowing, Lord, that our desires for your will to be accomplished, for your name to be glorified and honored. So, Father, would you come, even now, captivate our hearts and minds. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in these moments that we will hear from your holy word and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have this passage, and basically Jesus, he gives his disciples a straightforward invitation to seek God, to meet their needs with confidence by asking God because of who he is. Because of who he is. Asking God. I like what the Message says about this passage. It says it this way. He says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think that God, who conceived you in love, will be even better? Here is a simple rule of thumb, guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. So here in this moment, in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is revealing an invitation to his followers. Listen, I'm going to give you a secret, and it's an open invitation for all who will accept it, but it will really bring success in your life. And what is that? It's ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Could it be when we are there to ask and seek and knock, could it be that we're, or some people, they don't ask because they're afraid to? They're afraid to. We are afraid to enter into God's presence. We know that God is an all-consuming fire. We know what God said about the mount, that if anybody goes to Mount Sinai and touch it, they will die. We have this fear of God. Or maybe we even have whittled it down in our own thinking, oh, God won't be concerned with me because I'm nobody. I'm not important. My requests and needs don't really matter to him. Farthest could be from the truth of that. So we don't enter in because maybe we're fearful, we're afraid. Maybe we lack faith. I don't believe God can answer prayer. I don't believe God will answer this. Maybe it's because we don't fully understand who God is. We don't really understand who he is, so we do not ask. Remember what James told the believers in Jerusalem when he wrote James. He said in chapter 4, he says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You ask in the wrong moments. You spend it on your passions." Maybe we do not ask because we ask wrongly. I get that picture of Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade, and he's there in the cave with one of the knights of the Round Table guarding the chalice, and they're trying to figure out which was the Lord's cup. And he grabs it, and he drinks the cup. And what does the guard say? "You have chosen wisely. You have chosen wisely." Maybe we ask with the wrong motives, and so our prayers aren't answered. We've forgotten who God is and that he invites us to come into his presence. And this morning he is inviting us to come into his presence to be reminded of the wonderful, gracious invitation that he offers to every child of God. Every child of God to come into his presence with confidence and to ask. And in these verses, Christ reminds us that we can ask God because of who he is. So I can ask God because he's a good, good father. We've sung about that this morning, and he is so good. Paul wrote the Thessalonians, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." In James 1:17, it says, "There every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." When I come into his presence, I come knowing that God, yes, is holy, that God is righteous, that God is fully just, but I also come knowing that he is a good, good father. If you want to get a good glimpse of what God is like as a father, go to the passage of the prodigal son. The father there has given everything for his son. His son comes and says, "I want my inheritance early." His father gives him that request. His young son goes out and foolishly spends it on the things of this world. And as he runs out of money, so does his popularity and his friends and his position. And he ends himself where? In a pig trough. He can't even afford to eat food on his own. He has to grovel for the leftovers from the pigs. And he comes to his senses and says, "Well, if I'm at least a servant in my father's house, you know, I will be treated better. I'm going to go back and repent and ask my father to forgive me." And as he's coming on his way, what happens? His father sees him from a distance, stops what he's doing, and runs immediately to grab his son who was lost. And he takes his cloak off of himself and puts it on his son. Takes his rings of position and maybe power and prestige and wealth and places it on his son's hands. And his son feels so unworthy of that. "Father, I don't deserve that." His father says, "Look, my son was lost, but now is found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a party, a celebration." God the Father loves His children, and He's good. He's a good, good Father. I can come into His presence and ask because He's so good. He is good. Secondly, I can come into His presence and ask because God is a loving Father. We see that in the story of the prodigal son. He's a loving Father. Ephesians says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When we were dead in trespasses, we were still wallowing in the mud, so to speak, still enjoying our sinful life, still thinking we've got it all together. We know the things of to do and the ways of this world. And yet, while we were still lost in our sinfulness, separated from God, God, who is rich in mercy, poured out His great love, it says, great love, lavished upon us, gave His one and only Son to take upon Himself all of our sin, past, present, and future, and exchanged it. We received the righteousness of Christ as if we have never sinned. And we're allowed into His presence. Allowed into His presence. Why? Not because of anything we've done. Not because of anything we deserve. Only because of God's great love. So I can come into His presence asking God because of His love. In fact, Jesus goes on and really fleshes that out in verses 9. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? In other words, Jesus here in this moment is putting up comparison up, and He's saying, listen, you are fallen. You are far removed from my Heavenly Father, who is perfect and holy and righteous and good and loving. But listen, you think you are loving. You show a little love to your kids, and you're evil because you are outside. You are lost. You have fallen short of the glory of God. So in that moment, there's no way you can compare to my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father, you show a little love and kindness to your kids. Don't you think that my Heavenly Father is going to do the same, in fact, even more? Of course. So, He says, in everything, He moves on. We can ask God because He is a loving Father. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. What kind of love has God given to you? That we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. We are loved by the Father. I can enter into His presence, and I can come boldly before Him because He's good and because He's loving. But I also can come because He's all-knowing. We can ask God because He is an all-knowing Father. Matthew 6:8, therefore do not be like them, in Matthew 6, because your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord was talking about in praying, don't go on and babble, babble, babble with your big words and try to impress others that you are got this secret step or inside track to God's voice and you're on display. You're just going through the motions. You're living your religiosity outside, yet your heart is far from God. And so in that moment, Jesus says, don't be like them. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask, but He wants you still to ask. Why does God want us to ask? because he wants a relationship with you. That's why. Yes, God knows everything, but he wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. So he wants that communication to happen. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What those verses are saying to me is that there are times when I come into God's presence and I may not know what to ask the Father, but the Holy Spirit will intercede on behalf and will offer up groanings and usher up the ask before God as I wait before him. Because he knows what's on my heart. He knows what's in my mind. He knows the struggle and the yearnings. But God, by his Spirit, graces me. He knows all, and he knows I'm entering in. He knows I'm entering in, and he's all-knowing. And so I can come before him with my ask. I can come before him. We ask God because he's an attentive Father. As we ask God, it says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. That's verse 8 of Matthew 7. And the one who knocks, it will be open. In other words, if I ask, I can be confident I'm going to receive. If I seek, I can be confident that I will find. If I knock, I can be confident that the doors will open. Jesus is telling us to pursue God, to persist in pursuing him. People, sometimes we give up. We give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God cannot be found. But knowing God takes faith and focus and follow through. And Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded. Don't give up on your efforts to seek God. Continue to ask him. Continue to seek him for more knowledge, for more patience, for more wisdom and discernment, for more love, for more understanding. He will provide and meet and begin to reveal himself to you in spectacular ways as you enter in to the throne room of prayer by asking. Again, the context is, why do I need to ask? Jesus says, you need to ask so you can, not judge. Or you will be judged. You need discernment. You need the Spirit's help and guidance. He hasn't left us as orphans, but has given us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who counsels us so we can enter in and ask. Christ is showing us the heart of God the Father. God is not selfish. God is not selfish, begrudging, or stingy, and we don't have to beg or grovel as we come with our requests. He is a loving Father who understands, cares, and comforts. If humans can be kind, imagine how kind God, the Creator of kindness, can be. Sometimes I'm driving around Zephyr Hills, and we know about how much the traffic has increased. And all of us are really thrilled about that, I know, deep down, aren't you? You're excited about that. And sometimes you're waiting to pull out, whether to turn right or turn left. And sometimes as I'm waiting, someone comes along, and they'll pull right in front of you, and they won't let you in, right? And they'll pull right in front of you and won't let you in. But once in a while, someone will pull out and they'll stop and they'll motion and they'll let you in. And in that moment, I say, wow, there's still some kind people in Zephyr Hills. Right? If there's expression of kindness in your heart, just think how kind God the Father is. and how he longs for us to be kind like him. So when I enter in, I need to understand who God is. I come into his presence, and yes, the word says I come into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I'm reminded of who he is, that he's a good father, that he's a loving father, that he's an all-knowing father, that he is an attentive father. But I also come and I have to define what I'm asking. There is power in prayer. Matthew 18, 19 says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything," how many? "Two of you agree on earth about" what? "Anything. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Now, we immediately become, as the old theological term says, carnal in our thinking when we hear that verse. Oh man, that's great. If I get somebody else to agree with me, man, it's going to be done. Okay, I want you to hold my hand. I want you to pray, "Lord, I'm going to go down to that market and I'm going to buy me a lottery ticket, and we agree that we're going to win the jackpot in Jesus' name." Right? What's wrong with that prayer? Now, you might say nothing because you two of you agreed on anything. Was that prayer concerned with God's glory? Was that prayer concerned with God's will? No. It's concerned with me, myself, and I. God, in his wisdom, will answer prayer, and we may not fully understand it or be able to grapple with it or even accept it, but God answers prayer according to his will, according to his name being honored and glorified. He will move in your life and in your heart in the middle of an ask or in the pursuit of asking continually, but he will begin to shape and remold your character so that your asking will be transformed. You won't be so consumed with me, myself, and I, but you'll become more consumed with the heart of God and his agenda and plan and purposes for the world, which are far better than me, myself, and I. So as I come asking with someone else agreeing on earth about God's will to be done, accomplished, and Jesus says it will be done. And coming together, there needs to be an abandoning of my will, my way, my wants, my wishes. I come in mutual submission to one another and to the Holy Spirit in my asking, "Not my will, but yours be done." But does this mean then that God doesn't answer my particular requests? No. God does answer our personal requests. He says, "Two of you agree on earth about anything." God does answer our requests, but he's more concerned with the heart and the motive of the one asking than the answer. We should pray the Father's heart, God's interest and priorities when we ask, seek, and knock. What would God the Father have you pray? Sometimes we enter in with the ask saying, "Man, I got to ask God about this." And that's important and necessary. It might be the stimulus that brings us into the prayer closet. But we also need to pause and say, "Lord, what would you like me to pray before you this morning?" And then lay it out. Two or more believers filled with the Holy Spirit will pray according to God's will, not their own. Maybe the reason there's less power in the world today that is demonstrated by the church is because believers are not continually filled with the Spirit of God as they enter into the prayer closet. Lord, help us to be full of your Spirit as we enter in for the ask. Jesus said in Matthew 21, 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We need to have a relationship with God Almighty by faith as we enter into his presence. For the sinner who's outside the kingdom, who's never received Christ as their Savior and Lord, that's where it begins. It's committing my life to the Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to share in the fellowship of your suffering. I want to know you more than anything else. I want to live for you and love you because of what you've done for me. What have you done for me? You have forgiven me of all my sin, past, present, and future. You have removed that sinful nature of my life. Yeah, it's still there. There's urgings and temptations to go the world's way. But for the most part, there is a desire to live for Jesus. There's a desire for righteousness. There's a desire to know you more in your word. There's a desire to demonstrate your love and your kindness and your goodness all through my life and my thinking to others, that your Holy Spirit will just flood my soul so much that when I speak, I'm like a faucet that has become unplugged, and I just pour out your love on others because I'm walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. This ask doesn't mean I can ask God. Well, you can ask God for anything, but he may not give you everything that you ask. The sweepstake ticket, he may not give that to you because he knows better. The selfish prayer that talks about, Lord, wipe out that wicked person over there. He may not answer that. We come to God and we come in humility. We come in brokenness. We come with desperateness, yes, and need. And we come asking, seeking, and yes, pursuing over and over again, knocking, 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 knocking. Lord, let your will be done. When you take a close look at the ask and you compare that with the model that Jesus gave in the Lord's Prayer, we see, yes, there's patterns to pray that can help us when we enter in to his presence. I come and I hallow his name. I come and I ask for my daily bread. I come and I bring my brokenness before him because I want my sins to be forgiven and cleansed. I don't want guilt to be hammering me over and over again that just sort of strangles me from anything and everything. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God wants to free you of the chains that bind you. And that's through confession. I come into his presence and I ask because of who he is and because of what he's done. Jesus says, whatever you ask in faith, but you also ask in his name. This I will do, he says. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Kind of tunes our hearts aright to the Lord. Lord, I'm asking in your name, on your behalf, as your representative, to accomplish this for your will and for your glory. Yes, the Lord knows that you have needs. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." These things, your needs, your wants, your cares. The Lord knows that. But he wants more of you in that relationship with him. More than just a God who says, "I'm going to provide for your physical needs." God wants to have a living relationship with you now. Now, every moment of every day, to commune with him, to talk with him. That you enter in and ask him, "Lord, I need wisdom in this relationship that I'm dealing with, or I need wisdom in this decision that I need to make, or I need physical healing in this area of my life. My body's not functioning as proper as it should be. Lord, I have a burden in my heart. It is consuming me. It's crippling me. It's strangling me. I have this need, Lord. I need you for your will to be accomplished. And in the midst of that, I need to have peace." I think, you know, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jailer account, when they were in jail together, amazing to me, they come in, they share Christ in that sense, and they get arrested and persecuted and beaten, thrown in jail, and they are just hurting physically. They're chained and they're hurting physically. And man, if it was me, I just would be moaning and groaning. But they, in that moment, because of their walk with Christ, their walk with God, they're filled with the Spirit of God. They are singing hymns and praising God in the middle of that prison. And what happens? An earthquake happens, but they don't run away. They share the gospel with the Philippian jailer, and his whole life and world and family enter into the kingdom of God, and they're set free. How did Paul and Silas be able to maneuver that way victoriously in the midst of physical pain? Because they knew when they're asking, they knew God's will was priority. And they sought that more. They wanted his practical will, they wanted his divine will, and they wanted wisdom to be Christ-like. And so they were able to sing out of that abundance because God gave them peace, his peace that surpasses all understanding in their ask. We can ask God because he's gracious Father. He will empower me by his Spirit to treat others Christ's way. When I enter in and I'm asking the Lord to help me in all areas of my life, yes. But I want his will to be accomplished in and through me. Privilege for me to partner with him in this invitation. And I get to ask and he will be given. I get to seek and he will allow me to find. I will knock and the doors will be open. And God will accomplish his will in and through my life. Then he will give me that ability. So in everything, I'll be able to treat my brothers and sisters and those outside the family of God, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. It's not do to others before they do it to you. Do to others before they do it to you. You better get them. No. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. Jesus was turning what was commonly practiced there as a negative. He was saying, listen, take the initiative, as Eugene Peters says. Grab it and go and show kindness and mercy and love others like Jesus loves them. The golden rule, as Jesus formulated it, is the foundation of active goodness and mercy, the kind of love God shows to us every day. Think of a good and merciful action you can do today just by smiling at someone. That's kind. By greeting them. That's kind. How you doing today? That's kind. And really mean it. Really mean it. So, what is God saying to me today from his word, and how will I respond? Jesus gave this invitation to his listeners. He says, I'm going to let you know something. My Father wants you to enter into his presence because of me, and I will intercede. And the Spirit that I am going to give you, the Holy Spirit, will intercede on your behalf. But I want you to ask. I want you to seek. And I want you to knock for the will of the Lord to be done and accomplished. What would God have you to pray and ask for? In a moment, we're going to enter into the Lord's table. It's a time of remembrance and a time of reflection. It's a time of evaluating. For me, this is how I approach it. Lord, how's our relationship doing? And the Holy Spirit will gently begin to show you areas in your life, maybe, that you need to get right. And the best response is say, yes, Lord, I confess, you're right, help me. Help me in that area. Forgive me, cleanse me. The Lord shows something in your life that you've wronged another person and you need to ask forgiveness, then you need to ask. Not only forgiveness from the Father, but forgiveness from that other individual. I encourage you to do so. They may be clueless. As we say in Seattle, they may be clueless about it, but you can go in humility and say, hey, you know, forgive me. Forgive me. If we begin to demonstrate the love of Jesus in practical ways to one another, treating one another as Christ treats us, if we enter into the closet, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, praying and asking as God desires us to do, our needs will be met. But oh, much more will be accomplished. God's will begins to be displayed and manifested in the world today. We know there are two areas in Scripture that God desires for every believer. It is the will of God that you become holy. Your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And secondly, it is the will of God that you give thanks in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So with that in mind, what would the Lord have you pray this morning? Let's pray. Father, we have been challenged this morning, reminded of a simple truth of who you are. And oh God, how grateful, thankful that you are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father, a loving Father, rich in mercy, rich in love. And we thank you. We also thank you, Lord God, that you are all-knowing, all caring, gracious, compassionate, that you haven't treated us as our sins deserve, but removed them as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. And Lord, that you've even counted us as righteous because of Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross for us. We thank you for the gift of salvation, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. And Lord, I pray in these moments that your Holy Spirit will search our hearts and reveal to us any wicked way. And Lord, move us to that place of confession and agreement with you and bring reconciliation and restoration and forgiveness and cleansing. And even as the psalmist prayed, Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. So, Lord, we ask your blessing now as you minister to us by your Holy Spirit. As as we honor our Savior by remembering the Lord's death until he comes at communion. And we thank you for what you're going to do in these moments in Christ's holy name.